for us to clear the way for the power of the Spirit of God to come through us. And dear friends, I apologize to you for really kind of preaching at you tonight in this way, but I really am exercised about this because I'm seeing it happen. It isn't just the body, it's the soul. The body and the soul. We Christians need to be healed in our bodies and our souls, not our spirits. Jesus is taking care of that. But in our psychological natures, there's a lot of ornery people in the churches. What did I say? Not in this church, but in all the others. Ask any pastor, Christians, you know, one of my friends asked his congregation to exchange the kiss of peace, you know, turn to one another and greet one another with a handshake and a God bless you, right in the middle of the liturgy in church. Do we do that in our church now? But this was quite several years ago when it was just beginning. And when the service was over, one of his friends, a lady, came to him, and she was white with rage. And she said, "John, why did you do that to us this morning?" She said, "If I had had any idea you were going to do that, I would never have sat in the same pew with that woman." And then she looked at her pastor and she said, "Oh, uh-huh." She suddenly realized, you know, she was not in love and charity with her neighbors. Do you know that Christians do not love each other all that much? Do you know it's sometimes much nicer to do business with pagans than Christians? You get a better deal. Christians can be very difficult. The Apostle John said, "We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren." I mean, how could you love these people? I'm being silly, you know. Because they can be very difficult. The trouble is they're people. That's the trouble. We just didn't have to cope with people. But you see, we're the problem, not God. I got a television set at home down in the basement. Old television set. I still keep it around. And It doesn't work very well. It has a funny colors. It has green faces and pink skies and all kinds of things. And the audio is not very good. And you know, supposing I turn this set on and I get a strange looking picture and a funny sound, and I call up the station and I say, "Hey, what's the matter with you guys? You're sending out a bad signal. I'm getting, your colors are all wrong and your sound's all wrong. What's the matter with you people?" "Well, sir, what are you receiving it on?" "Well, I've got this television set. I paid $500 for it 10 years ago." "Well, sir, I think it's your receiver that is defective." "What do you mean, my receiver is defective?" Have you ever heard a Christian say that? The Christian version of that is, "Don't tell me I don't have enough faith. God is the one that's at fault. He's not sending out the right signals." "Oh, I know he promised, but you see, he isn't doing it." Something, you know, there it is. What's faith? Faith is receiving it. And I tell you this, okay, see these things? I'm praying to get my eyes healed. Hadn't happened yet. You think God wants me to wear glasses? No, he doesn't. It slows me down a bit. I have a slight hearing loss. You think God wants that? No. Moses was 120. His eye was undimmed. His natural force unabated. That's way back to Moses. He was 120 and God said, "Okay, Moses, time to go home." You know, he's still in great shape. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I mean, you know, all these things. "I am the Lord Jehovah thy God, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who saveth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." What do we want? I mean, do we believe it or don't we? You see, you don't have to go into the New Testament. It's all there in the Old Testament. God doesn't want his people sick. There's a war on, folks, between the forces of darkness that are trying to take over this world and the forces of light, the armies of God. And we're on the side of the light, but very often we sit in the darkness and don't let the light through, even into our own lives. Now, it's easy to stand up here and say that. And I'm not laying a trip on you. I know. I said, I got things wrong with my physical body that haven't been healed, and I've got some that have. But I want to tell you something. I like President Reagan. Now, President Reagan's older than me. I use his terminology. I have had the 31st anniversary of my 39th birthday. And I want to tell you, I don't feel like that at all. Well, I get a little creaky sometimes. I'm 70 years old. If you're nice, you'll say, oh, you don't look it. All together now. Well, I don't know what 70 years old is supposed to feel like, but whatever it is, I don't feel like it. I feel like about 35. I walk 2 miles, 3 miles a day. I work 12 hours of the average day, often 6-7 days a week. Why not? Why not? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And the more the Lord gets through to me, and the more I let Him through, the better it gets. I'm not going to get sick. I'm figuring on 120. If the Lord tarries, you know, the fellow says unless the upper taker gets here before the undertaker. But, okay, it doesn't matter. Just so long as the Lord's around, it doesn't matter how long you live or don't live in this earth. But sometimes you want to get out, you know, beam me up. But praise God. Because He wants, see, God wants to bless us. Are you afraid of it? God wants to bless us. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Oh, but Lord, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, yes, I want to bless you. What did Jesus come? He said, I want to bless you. I come to bring you life. I come to bring you joy. Come to bring you health. Come to bring you strength. Come to meet all you. My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. Okay, well, I've talked a long time, but believe it. Practice it. Work with it. If you don't, now many of you do, and don't, I know that. But I don't want to sit up here and sound like a brash visitor from south of the border coming up here to tell you how to do it. I will take more home, I think, than I brought. I've had tremendous inspiration being with you here. And this beautiful, among you beautiful folks. But for those of you who might need the encouragement or the reminder, and I know I do, again and again, think on these things. Don't let your heritage be stolen from you. Read the book. Realize what God's saying to you. Will you trust me, He said. Will you trust me? Do you know I love you? I don't want you sick. I don't want you dead. I want you alive. I want you strong. I want you to function for me. I want to take care of you. Well, God, you're not going to give me a Cadillac, are you? No, you don't need a Cadillac. But I'm going to get your bills paid for you. You are? Yeah. I don't like my kids being in debt. But we don't believe that, see? Not really. I need to get Yonggi Cho up here, Sam, and talk about some of these things. But we're afraid of it. People are terrified of these faith teachers today. Well, they do get a bit overboard. Sometimes. But believe me, I'd rather be on that side than the other side. I'd rather be believing too much than too little. And most Christians believe too little. So give them a chance. Give God a chance. Now, as we close here, for those of you who would like to participate, and if not, just stay and just be praying with us. But I'd like to give them a chance. I'd like to give them a chance to just heal some of the ailments that are here in our midst. And don't get worried. I'm a very safe, conservative Anglican, and I'm not going to pounce on anybody. And I'm not going to have a healing line or anything like that. But I'm going to ask for those of you who would like to participate, that we just spend a little time praying for each other, right here in the congregation, just praying for each other, and letting the Lord have a chance. Just open the door a crack, and let's see what'll happen. I think I can tell you ahead of time, well, there's probably 300 people here tonight, I suppose, somewhere around that. Probably a dozen, maybe more, maybe less, will feel a touch from the Lord. What happens if you don't? Does that mean I'm some kind of a terrible outcast? No. Just like last night. It just means you're inhibited. It just means there's something still in the way. If you've got a chronic ailment, if you've got something you're struggling with, you say, Dennis, it's all very well to stand out there and talk about these things, but I got this problem. Okay, I have a grandson who has a congenital blood problem. We're praying for it to be healed. I know about those things. That doesn't mean you're bad or something. No. All I'm saying is I do know one thing. God wants you whole. I don't know why you're not yet healed. I don't know why. But I challenge you not to quit. Do not say, I guess God doesn't want to heal me. Because if you say that, you're contradicting the Bible. And Christians are not supposed to contradict the Bible. I am the Lord Jehovah thy God who healeth all thy diseases. Work on it. Read about it. Don't read the books that explain why God doesn't heal people. Read the books about healing. Read the positive ones. There's plenty of wonderful ones. Go back and read Emily Gardner Neal. Go back and read some of these wonderful people of the past that wrote tremendous books on healing. Go way back if you want to. But build your faith. And above all, read this book. And just build your belief that Jesus wants you whole. And that your Father in heaven is a wonderful, loving daddy. That's what Abba means, of course, who wants you well. And realize that his heart is wrung with compassion for you. Even if all you got is a headache, he doesn't think that's good. And one last parting shot, if you're tempted to think that the Lord wants you sick, then why wasn't Jesus ever sick? See, as he is, so are we in this world. We are to emulate him and follow in his steps. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ coming one morning to the disciples and saying, you know, I got my headaches again. You know, Peter, how I get these migraine headaches. And I'm really feeling bad. I'm going to have to go home and go back to bed. You guys are going to have to carry on. You can't imagine such a silly thing. You can't even imagine Jesus with a cold. No, you can't. And you know you can't, because he never had one. In order to identify with our sickness, they had to whip him within an inch of his life. By his stripes we are healed. Not by his sicknesses, by his stripes. Okay? That's what Isaiah said it, and we just heard it repeated by Matthew. That's what I have to say about the gift of healing. Would you stand up with me? And please don't feel inhibited or about this. I'm not expecting anyone to participate in any way that would be against your belief about this, but I think many of you, if not all of you perhaps, would go along to the extent that I'd like to have you. I just would like to have us pray for each other right where we're standing, or you can move around. If you want to go pray for a friend on the other side of the church, that is lawful. You can break ranks. Even the ladies can come over this side and the men over that side. But let's ask a question first. How many of you here have pain in your body somewhere tonight? Maybe just a sore finger or maybe something more. Raise your hand if you have pain. I want you to look around and see how many people. Lift your hands up high, will you? Look how much pain there is. Some of these are little pains, some are big ones. Why don't we just ask Jesus to do something about the pain? Or do you think God wants you in pain? Funny thing, John Wesley tells in his journal, which I hope you've read, in that marvelous journal of his, he tells about how he was thrown down a staircase once. You know, Wesley had a rough time. He was a good high church Anglican priest, but they didn't respect him all that much. And one time a bunch of people tossed him down the stairs. And he landed on the stones at the bottom. He said, I felt as though I landed on a feather bed. He landed unhurt. And he said, I felt as though I landed on a feather bed. Because why? Because the angels were there to catch him, you see. God, what is it? He will not suffer thee to strike thy foot against a stone. And he that keepeth thee will not sleep. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd, you know. I'll fear nothing. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. I mean, the Bible is full of this. And we say, oh, that's for the millennium. That's a prophetic utterance. That's for heaven. That's for something else. No, it's for you today. God doesn't want you to suffer except you choose. I must say this. I know I'm talking on and on. But there's so much more. I know by all, after all these years, you know, I know what people are saying. Well, now, wait a minute, Dennis. You're trying to tell us the Christian life is a bed of roses? Oh, no. No, no. But that's not because of God. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation. That's trouble. In the world you'll have trouble, he said, yeah. But he said, cheer up. I've overcome the world. And we said, well, isn't that nice? Someday Jesus will overcome the world. No, he said, I've overcome it. And you, I'm in you, and you can overcome it too. Literally. He said, you'll have trouble. But you see, Jesus never accepted any trouble that he didn't decide to accept, including the cross. Nothing ever happened to Jesus Christ that he didn't permit to happen to him. Nobody ever sneaked up on Jesus and did something mean to him. They came to throw him over the cliff. He walked through the midst of them and went his way. That happened several times in the Gospels. And as I said, at the crucifixion, he said to Peter, put up your sword, Peter. I could ask my Father and he would send me 72,000 angels. I don't need your sword. But I'm not going to do it because I've decided I'm going to lay down my life for this people. Nobody's going to take it away from me. I'm going to lay it down to myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up, you see. So you, as a Christian, will be called by the Lord. The Lord will say, Jack, Susie, whoever, Dennis, would you do this for me? It's going to cost you some suffering. I mean, you may get hurt. People may attack you. You may lose your job. Would you do it for me? Will you take the chance? You don't have to. Yeah, Lord. You know what that is? That's a cross. Would you take up the cross? See, a cross has to be something you can take up or lay down. Therefore, sickness cannot be a cross. You can never say that sickness is a cross. Now, I admire and respect people who put up with a chronic illness, an ailment. Glory be to God. And God loves and honors that too. But that's not the will of God that that should happen that way. Jesus said, take the cross. What is a cross? A cross is something you voluntarily pick up and you carry it, and any time you wanted to, you could throw it down. Jesus could any time have said, I've had enough of this stuff, and thrown that cross down, and that would have been the end of it and the end of us. Okay? And sickness can never be a cross because you cannot lay it down. And isn't it strange we say, well, I'm carrying this cross of sickness, and then you're spending a lot of money trying to get it healed. Really? I'm not trying to be smart. Why do Christians say that all this sickness that I'm suffering is to the glory of God and it is the will of God? And then you say, what's the doctor bill doing lying on the table? Why do you have the bottle of pills if this sickness is the will of God? You trying to fight against God? You trying to get the doctor on the devil's side? I'm not against doctors, don't get me wrong. We were not logical, you see. Who wants you well? The doctor wants you well. Would you go to a doctor who didn't want you well? How long would you go to a doctor or a nurse that didn't want you well, that thought you should be sick? Suppose your doctor said to you, well, you see, it's my will that you be sick for 2-3 more weeks. You'd say, well, see you later, doc. I'm going to get me another one. Everybody knows doctors want people well. You think God's not as good as the doctor? Where's our logic? Let's use a little of it. Okay. What I'd like to do is just now... If you have a pain, and if you wouldn't object to one of your neighbors reaching out and perhaps putting their hand on your arm or your shoulder or even on your head, or taking your hand or in some way touching you, because you see the laying on of hands is there all through the Scripture, because the Spirit of God, you don't have to do this, but the Spirit of God does work through hands. How many of you have prayed and felt the power of God in your hands? Oh, yes, I'm Ann Coles to Newcastle again. Warmth, tingling, Holy Spirit. The night that I received as I described last night, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it, I came home that night and my first wife, Alberta, was in bed and asleep. Next morning, when we woke up, she said, I know what happened to you last night. I said, what do you mean, honey? She said, I was awake, I was asleep when you came home, but she said, when you laid your hand on the front doorknob, a jolt of power went through the house and woke me up. And I fell asleep again waiting for you to come to bed. I felt nothing. But the Holy Spirit decided to do something dramatic. And so sometimes when you pray for people, you'll feel the strength, the power of God in your hands. Great. It helps. Praise the Lord. And as we pray, some of you will feel the warmth of the Spirit moving in your body. To touch some of those areas. Great. Let him move. Receive it. Let's just pray that one. All I'd like you to do is, in a moment or two, is just reach out. If someone has a hand up raised next to you, I'm going to ask people to raise the hands again in a moment. Just reach out, if the Lord so leads you, and just put your hand on the shoulder or whatever, and Just pray. Pray however the Lord leads you to pray. Quietly, more loudly, in the Spirit, however you want to pray. Just pray for them. And be just open to receive. Now, if you have a pain, you can reach out the other hand and pray for somebody else. Let's get a chain going here and just see what God can do in our midst tonight. You know, raise your hands again if you have a need in healing, especially a pain. And will you please keep the hand up? I mean, sort of keep it up for a while. And now, whether you have your hand up or not, will you look around you, and if you feel so led, I don't want anybody to be forced to do anything, would you reach out that other hand and put it on the person? Don't let anybody with a hand up not have somebody else touching them and praying with them. And then let's just kind of pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Father, this is a beautiful bunch of people. This is a marvelous group of your children. They know you and they love you. And a lot of them are hurting. And you don't want them to. Because you're our Father. And Jesus had compassion on the multitude. We've got a pretty good-sized small multitude here tonight. And Jesus had compassion on the multitude, and he healed all their sick. And we're just, here we are, Lord, and you're in us, and your Spirit is in us. And you have no hands but our hands, and we're just reaching out our hands, and they're your hands, and putting them on our brothers and our sisters, and just to allow. We don't have to plead with you. We just want to allow your Spirit to just flow through us to these people, and take away the pain. Touch the headache and the sore throat and the sore feet and the sore back. Whatever may be going on. Whether the pain, the inside pain in the stomach or the kidneys or the wherever it is, whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. And you just pray quietly along about this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Don't be afraid to quietly say, Lord, just heal him. Lord, heal him. Let your Spirit flow. Set my spirit free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And if just let the Lord minister to you. He loves you. He's here, you see. Jesus is here. In by his Holy Spirit, in you and me. That's what makes the church the church. Jesus is present in the midst of his people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you didn't stop healing when you went to heaven. You sent the Holy Spirit to keep the job going in us. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, relieve that aching tooth. We've even seen you fill teeth, Lord. That sore back, those sore legs, that arthritis, Lord, the tension that's causing it. And Jesus, while you're at it, Lord, go deep inside us and minister to the inner hurts. Minister to those bruised areas that we feel down inside, where we were battered and bruised and abused, many of us. All that interior soreness, so that your Spirit can get through. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know whether you know the song. Love is flowing like a river, flowing out to you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. Joy is flowing like a river, flowing out to you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. Let's sing, healing's flowing like a river. Healing's flowing like a river, flowing out to you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Did anybody feel, has anybody felt a touch from the Lord as we're praying here together? Would you raise a hand and maybe, a lot of hands go up. Let's just, while we're standing here, well, be seated. And let's just hear from one or two folks who won't mind sharing with us what the Lord's doing here. Don't let's lose our spirit of praise in sitting down. But yes, there were a lot of hands went up. Somebody, just tell us. It's gone in your heel. Isn't that marvelous? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who else? This sometimes, and there will be a dramatic healing. Once in a while, something extremely dramatic. Most of the time, it's pain, back pain, shoulders, arm, wrist. One boy couldn't open his hand. He'd had injured it a year before, I think, and he couldn't close it. That was it. Couldn't any more than that. After prayer, no problem. And some of you are going to find tomorrow that something got healed that you didn't know about. But what I want to encourage you, to do is do this. I'm sure some of you do. But pray. My younger son had, when he was a teenager, he came up with an infection in his leg. And the red streak going up, lymphatic infection, which could be very dangerous, of course, could hit the bloodstream. The red streak going up his leg. I, being a great man of faith and power, said to his mother, "We got to get that boy to a doctor right away." And my first wife, Alberta, said, "What's the matter with praying for him first?" I said, "Oh, yes." So we prayed. And after we waited an hour and nothing happened, there was still a red streak going up his leg. And I said, "We got to get that kid to a doctor right away." And my dear wife said, "What's the matter with praying again?" And I said, "All right." That time it went away. We prayed and it went. So, don't give up. But I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. Be careful about that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't have, if that red streak had not gone away, we hadn't taken him to a doctor. That would have been a terrible thing. Because when God heals people, they get healed. And you go to the doctor and say, "Hey, doc, I got healed." The doc says, "Yeah, I guess you did." Just this last week, we received a testimony like that, where a person was healed. And they went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "That's right, you've been healed." Great, the doctor was delighted. And so we never say to people, "You mustn't, it's wicked to go to the doctor." What we say is, "It's kind of nice to go to Dr. Jesus, because he really is the best. If you really want to get fixed, go to the manufacturer." Praise the Lord. Let's stand and just kind of worship the Lord a little bit, maybe singing just a little bit. And then, why don't we stand up? And is there somebody else that has something they'd like to share that the Lord did for you as we were praying there together? Someone else? I know there were seven. Don't be bashful. If someone's a little bit hesitant, you maybe have something to share. Is there someone? What over here? I didn't. Another hand over. Yes, there we go. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Do you know the little chorus, thank you, Jesus? Do you ever sing that? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, in my heart. You can't make me doubt it. You can't make me doubt it. You can't make me doubt it in my heart. You can't make me doubt it. I know too much about it. You can't make me doubt it in my heart. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah in my heart. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah in my heart. Praise the Lord. Now, if there is someone here, are there people here who have a healing ministry? You are accustomed to praying with the sick in your church. Is there someone like that? Okay. One, two, yes, pastors, and some of you pastors and others. Would you be willing to, in a moment, just to be up front here, would that be in order, and to pray with people who might want further prayer? Just to be here, to pray with them, if people would like a further touch from the Lord. And I'm certainly here to minister, but as we... Rita and Dennis Bennett leave, you won't be waiting for the next one, which is what Christians do, you know. Well, they were here, but of course you can always go to the pastor. You know what the Bible says about him? And him? Where are you? There. It says, anyone sick among you? Let him send for the elders of the church. And let them anoint the sick with oil, right? And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have any sins, they shall be forgiven. And it isn't just those gentlemen. It is the rest of the elders of the church, too. They're specially commissioned to do this. Let's believe it again, because I tell you, God's got a lot of wonderful things he's going to do. Lori, would you come and dismiss us with prayer, or however you feel led, and this will be... my last opportunity to speak to you. This is I hope that there will be a chance in the future at some point to be with you again. And I know I speak for Rita when we say that we certainly have enjoyed. I have thoroughly enjoyed and been blessed by being here. God bless you all.
We're so grateful that you've come. The Lord bless you and Rita as you continue on in your ministry. I want us to sing the first stanza of hymn number 7, and then we'll have a benediction. Singing, we can't stop.